passion, with conviction, and most of all, by being led of your Spirit. And I thank you in advance that we're going to walk away today better spouses than when we walked in. Thank you for your presence and your power in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Grab your Bibles, hold it up real high, repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you are in physical pain right now, I need you to stand up. Physical pain, physical pain, physical pain, physical pain. Stand, 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 stand. So I have been instructed by the Lord that before every service to pray for people who are in pain. Last week, I can't tell you because I missed this service, but our second and our third service, I think we had about 16 in our third service that got healed on the spot or during the service. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask someone close to you to touch you, because the scripture says if two of us touch and what? And agree. Now, when I ask you to touch them, make sure it's in an appropriate place. Praise the Lord. Okay. And those of you who are standing, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. That's what the scripture says. The scripture says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. So here's what I believe is going to happen, because I don't do things that I don't think God's going to move on. God is going to move after I pray. So here's what I'm going to need you to do. During the service, when that pain goes away, and I'm not talking about going away by faith. I'm talking about it's gone. When you realize your pain is gone, I want you to stand up. I know you say, well, Pastor, you're going to be preaching. Yes, I know that. But I want you to stand up and wave at me like that. Don't sit in your seat and wave, because I'm going to think you're waving at me and I'm going to wave back. You're going to stand up and you're going to do what? Okay, practice. Those of you who are standing up, practice, practice. Yes, yes, yes. And here's what we're going to do as a congregation. When we see them healed, we're going to clap and we're going to give God praise. Can we do that? So let's practice that. Everybody just give the Lord a praise clap. Yes. So go ahead and touch that person next to him. Father, I thank you that you hear me when I pray. Thank you, Father, that I'm obeying what you say. You said for us to lay hands on the sick, and your word says the sick shall recover. So Lord, we thank you for you watching over your word to perform it. And so as we touch and agree with those who are standing, we say in Jesus' name, pain, you go in Jesus' name. We declare healing and wholeness from the top of their head down to the soles of their feet. Holy Spirit, sweep this room, touch everybody, remove every form of pain and dis-ease. And Lord, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus, you say we can speak to the mountain and tell the mountain to be removed. And so we speak to the mountain of pain, and we also declare in the name of Jesus, whatever the source of that pain is, to cease to exist. And Lord, we thank you for wholeness, wellness and healing and being pain-free, and we thank you that it's going to happen before we leave today in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody give the Lord a praise clap for that? You may be seated. So we are officially in the second week of our relationship series. And like I said on last week, for those of you who may not know, every year we use the month of September to focus on relationships. So that means for the whole month, everybody say the whole month. The whole month of September, we're dividing our church by relationship status. And so if you're visiting us today and you're not married, I'm going to encourage you to stay after, because we have two more services designed for single people. So if you're in this room, it's really for legally and biblically married people. Now, if you're trying to figure out what that is, it probably means you're not supposed to be in here. And that does include shackers. Shackers are not legally and biblically married. When you say the state recognizes it, well. So here's the reason I do this every year. I do it because it allows me to give couples a checkup from the heart up. It allows me to give them biblical and marital counseling right over the pulpit. So if you didn't know and you are visiting and you're singles, stay for the next service and we'll be able to bless you. So our series title for our relationship series this year for our married people is Till Death Do Us Part. And that means all of the topics that I'm going to be doing for this month are going to be related to that series title. So if this morning, if you're following me or if you're taking notes, our message title is Love Me Till Death. So just look at your spouse and tell them, say, love me till death. So a wife recently said to her husband, honey, you never tell me that you love me anymore. And the husband looks at her and he said, baby, I told you that I loved you on the day we got married. When that changes, I'll let you know. So women, just look at your husband and say, don't try that. Don't try that. So our lesson today is going to be very different. I've never taught what I'm about to teach today, not only in content, but I haven't taught it the way I'm going to teach it. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at four major love types in the Bible, and then we're going to look at how you and I, as couples, how to apply these four loves in context of marriage. So if I could give a subtitle to the message today, it would be Loving Your Spouse in a Biblical Way. Loving your spouse in a biblical way, which now brings us to our first point. And if you're following us on the notes, our first point, and those who are watching, it is, since love never fails, it will help your marriage to prevail. Since love never fails, everybody say love never fails. If love never fails, it will help your marriage to prevail. See, God doesn't just love, he is love. If we could get a needle and put it in God's arm and suck it out, love would come out of it, because he doesn't just love, he is love. And because God is eternal, his love will never cease. Since he's eternal, guess what? That means that love that he loves with and that he is will always be around. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. This is going to be our foundational verse for this morning, because in it are going to be two types of love, and one of them in particular we're going to talk about today. It says in the King James Version, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and they know God. He that loves not knows not God. Read it with me, church. For God is love. So the word love in that verse is mentioned several times. And in those several mentions, there are two particular different kinds of love that's mentioned there. So we're going to look at the first one, and then we're going to talk about the second one. The first word love in that verse is the Greek word agapeo, A-G-A-P-A-O. And that word means to love someone from a moral or from like a social sense. You know, it's like when you say, you know, you're talking to your coworker and say, love you, you know, or you meet somebody, or, you know, just general people, you know, you say, you might say you love them. You're basically saying you agapeo them, right? But then that second word, love, is the Greek word agape, A-G-A-P-E, and it means God's type of love. Now, since our first point relates to agape, or us loving our spouses with God's type of love, let's kind of get a glimpse of what agape love looks like so that you and I can learn to love our spouses with God's kind of love. Watch this. So when they experience our love, they're experiencing the same love that they get from God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13, most of us are aware of this chapter. I'm reading out of the New Living Translations. It says, love is patient, love is kind. Agape is patient, agape is kind. Agape love is not jealous, it's not boastful, it's not proud. Agape love is not rude. Agape love doesn't demand its own way. Agape love doesn't be irritable. Look at your spouse and say, is that you? Agape love keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Agape love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It always endures through every circumstance and is kind. Agape love doesn't envy. Agape love vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up or proud. Agape love does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own. The agape love of God is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but the agape love of God rejoices in the truth. Watch this. It bears or keeps a secret and conceals. That's what that word bear it means. It means to protect by covering and preserving all things. Agape love believes all things. Agape love, God's love, hopes all things. It endures all things. In fact, the Bible says here that the agape love of God never fails. So what should the agape love of God look like when you're married? So what I want to do is read you something that I've compiled. Because sometimes when we read the Bible, it is so King Jamesy that we don't get it. So now what I've done, I've taken 1 Corinthians 13 and I've created a scenario that will work in a marriage context. So this is how you could love your wife, love your husband. Watch this, God's way. Here we go. A husband and a wife are called to love each other with love that is patient and kind. Even when the house is chaotic, when schedules are full, when frustrations are high, when one spouse is late again, look at your spouse and say, he ain't talking to none of us right here. He ain't talking to us. When one of the spouses is late again or forgets about an important event or kid activity, patience and kindness, not anger or attitude, should be the response. Their love for each other should not be jealous, boastful, proud, or rude, especially when one spouse advances in their career, gets more public recognition, or handles a situation better than the other. Instead of competing, they should celebrate one another. In moments of disagreement, whether it's over parenting, finances, baby daddy or baby mama drama, or household responsibilities, they forgot to wash the dishes, agape love chooses not to demand its own way. But it seeks understanding, and agape love compromises. It takes on the attitude of the solution. Watch this. A solution should better we, not just better me. Agape love, when emotions flare or opinions differ, agape love does not become irritable. Even when it's easier to lash out and have an attitude than to listen, and when arguments happen, and they will, true love or God's love or agape love keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't dig up old mistakes. It doesn't deal with or dig up past issues just to win the current fight or make its point. God's love will not hold a grudge or go on a silent streak because God doesn't treat us that way, so we shouldn't treat our spouses that way. In seasons where one spouse stumbles, sins, or struggles, God's love, agape love, does not rejoice in the injustice. It doesn't reject them or gossip about them. Girl, my husband. Agape love, it doesn't say, I told you so, but rather rejoices when truth and healing and restoration wins out. When the future looks uncertain, whether it's a health crisis, financial pressure, or emotional distance, real love, everybody say real love. Real love never gives up. Agape love, it doesn't give up even when walking away is probably easier. Agape love never loses faith even when, watch this now, a spouse isn't changing or doesn't look like they're going to change. Agape love stays hopeful. It believes the best. It prays through the worst. And looking ahead with vision and potential. It, watch this now. Here's what I love. Agape love endures through every circumstance by never quitting. Not because the road is smooth, but because love is the commitment that says I'm staying no matter what. Now, some of you all are saying, well, Pastor, what if he put his hands on me? Or in today's world, what if she put her hands on me? You do two things. You pray and call 911. Amen. Agape love doesn't need everything to be perfect because God's love is the anchor that holds that relationship together. Say amen to that. Thank you. Oh, we got one healing right here. Let's celebrate with her right there. Let's celebrate with her right there. What a good point. Which now takes us to our next point, which is you must fulfill intimate needs or the devil will introduce perverted seeds. The first one, the first love we talked about was agape love. That's loving your spouse God's way. That's being patient. That's being kind. That's being long-suffering. But now we're going to talk about a different type of love. And our point is, you and I as a spouse must fulfill intimate needs or the devil will introduce perverted seeds. Now, the Greek word that best describes physical love in the Bible is the Greek word eros. Everybody say eros. And this is a legitimate Greek word. You can look it up. But here's what's interesting. That Greek word is not used in the Bible. This word eros, it means romantic love. It means sensual love. It means physical love. And even though it's not necessarily used in the Bible, it's definitely described in the Bible. So we're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. And I'm going to be real discreet. And I'm going to be sweet. As we describe this. Now we're just going to read the scripture. This is 1 Corinthians 7 verse 2 in the Voice translation. This was Paul talking to the Corinthian church. They had wrote him a letter about certain issues in the church in relationships. So he was responding to them in a letter and he says to them, now to the topics you raised in your last letter. Some have said it's better for a man to abstain from having sex with his wife. Well, I disagree, Paul says, because of our tendency to embrace immoralities, each man should feel free to join together in sexual intimacy with his own wife, and each woman should join with her own husband. Husbands and wives have reciprocal duties. Each husband has the responsibility to meet his wife's sexual desires. I'm reading the Bible. And each wife should do the same for her husband. See, some of y'all are being all, I'm just reading the Bible. Look at verse 4. In marriage, everybody say in marriage. In marriage, neither the husband nor the wife should act as if his or her body is private property. Oh, my God. Your bodies now belong to who, church? To one another and together. Everybody say together. And together they are whole. So do not, everybody say do not. Do not withhold sex from one another unless both of you have agreed to devote a certain period of time to prayer. When the agreed time is over, come together again so that Satan will not tempt you when you are short on self-control. Now, church, I know that this, you know, topic is kind of sensitive in the church. But how many on social media? Let me see your hand. But it's on social media, right? And this topic is important because it allows a couple to stay physically connected, which helps them stay, watch this, emotionally connected. So let me show you why this is important. Here's why. Because the devil will use things to get in between you and your spouse if you all don't stay physically connected. Now, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 in the King James, I'm reading this for a reason. It says, now concerning things you wrote me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Watch verse 2, here's where it comes in. Nevertheless, to avoid, what's the word? Come on, church. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. That word fornication right there is the Greek word porneia, which is where we get our English word pornography from. So what he's saying here is you and I need to avoid porneia, which means, watch this, illicit sexual activities. Now, if you don't know what those are, that's like adultery, that's like fornication, that's like homosexuality, that's like pornography. Those are items like that. What he's saying is, in order for us to avoid that taking place, you need to have an intimate relationship with your spouse. And what I want to point out here is in a lot of cases, not all cases, but in a lot of cases, when a spouse is caught up with some of that illicit stuff, some of the reason is because their sexual needs are not met at home. Boy, I got no amens. I got one my. And I got you speak, Pastor, from that roach right down there. It's quiet in here, boy. So here's the million-dollar question. Here we go. How should this Eros love be practically lived out in a marital relationship? Because we're talking about loving your spouse in a biblical way. Well, society teaches us, you know, do what you want to do. But God's word is supposed to be the guide for us as believers. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All right. So let me read what I've come up with that will help us. Husbands and wives should not deprive one another of intimate relations, but instead mutually offer themselves in love, in service, and in connection. This means being intentional even when life gets hectic. There will be times when one spouse is exhausted from work or parenting and the other one wants some. That was discreet, wasn't it? Kid might think I'm talking about wanting some ice cream, so we don't know. But y'all know, right? Okay. In those moments, love doesn't say, you owe me. Nor does it say, leave me alone. Instead, love says, I want to serve you. Let's connect. So look at your spouse and tell them, I want to serve you. See, this is the most some of y'all done talked this week right here. This is the most right here. Sometimes it means, watch this, being willing to give even when you're not in the mood. Not from pressure, but from love and awareness, watch this, that this is something your spouse needs and God has designed you to be the only person who could meet that need. Other times it means being sensitive enough to delay what you want, understanding that your spouse may need some emotional or physical rest first, then revisiting that desire intentionally. Sex is not a bargaining chip or a weapon, but it's a gift that God's designed to reunite or to unite your spouse without withholding intimacy. or withholding intimacy, when you do it out of spite or when you do it out of manipulation, that is going to create division for your relationship. It will not allow you to protect the relationship, because the devil and outside opportunities are always knocking on the relationship. Amen. But when both spouses see intimacy as service, look at your spouse again and tell them, I want to serve you. I'm looking at first lady. I want to serve you. Now look at your spouse again and say, serve me. Some of y'all scared to say it. It's okay. It's okay. But when both spouses see intimacy as service, not just pleasure, then it pleases God. The Bible gives room for temporary abstaining for prayer and fasting, but not avoidance. That means couples must have open conversations about their needs, about their struggles, about their schedules. So let me give an example. Planning intentional time, even when things are busy. We plan everything else. There shouldn't be any excuse if you have to plan this. You say, Pastor, it doesn't seem, spontaneous when we plan it. Well, you plan to go to work. That ain't spontaneous. Amen. So now I'm about to hit you right in the gut. Busyness doesn't have to mean barrenness. Just because you are busy doesn't mean barrenness. You don't just belong to yourself in a marriage. You belong to each other. Say amen to that. Amen. And when this area of your relationship is honored, marriage becomes enjoyable. It becomes a safe place and not a battlefield. Here's our third and final point that we're going to look at maybe. And that is, we must be friends if we're going to last to the end. So we're talking about the different kinds of love that you can love your spouse. The first one was what? Agape. The second one was what? Eros. Well, the third way is through friendship. And we must be friends if we're going to last to the end. John chapter 5, verse 19, we're going to see this now. Third love word that we're going to apply to our marriage. It says in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he, the Father, does, then also the Son does likewise. Here's verse 20, the focus verse. For the Father does what, church? Loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. That word love it, where he says for the Father loves the Son, that word love, the Greek word, is philia. And it means to love and treat affectionately as a friend. So what Jesus was saying is the Father is friends with the Son and the Son is friends with the Father. And if you and I are going to have a lasting marriage, you're going to have to maintain or develop a friendship with your spouse. You're going to have to show them some filio. In fact, this is the word that the city of Philadelphia gets its name from. It means Philadelphia, or the city of what? Of love. Actually, that may be my fourth love, but we'll see here. John chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. He was from Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was named Lazarus, who was sick. Verse 3, watch this. Here's that word filio. Therefore, his sisters sent Jesus and said to him, Lord, behold, whom you lovest is sick. That's the word filio. What they were saying is, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. Now, in order for marriages to be healthy and to be intimate, to be safe, and in some cases be fun, you are going to have a strong element of friendship. Amen. Now, this foundation of friendship should be established before marriage, but sometimes people don't establish a friendship first. They fall in love first. So they never develop that friendship. But you can establish it and begin to grow it from this point on, because I'm going to give you some principles on how to do that. But listen, look at your spouse and say, it's not too late. So what I want to do quickly here is I want to talk about the qualities of a good friend. Okay, because if we can talk about the qualities of what a friend is, then those are the qualities that now we're going to work and develop in our friendship, in our relationship. So here's the first quality of a friend. A friend is loyal and loves. First lady's best friend is in the house. And you know why? She left and skipped her and her husband skipped her own church service to come to this service just to show love to first lady because it's her birthday. Because that's what friends do. They are lovers and they are loyal. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend, a what? A friend loves when? At all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Amen. Here's a second trait of a friend. They are honest and truthful. In other words, they tell you the truth even when it may be hard to hear. The Amplified Version of Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So we were on our way back. We had there were a couple of funerals here this weekend. You all be in prayer for the families. And we were on our way back from the burial, and it was way in Dallas. So on the way back, I'm driving, and I'm driving kind of, you know, it was not quite reckless, not necessarily responsible, in the middle. What word could I use for that? Aggressive? I don't know. So we get home, and First Lady, in her tenderness, says, babe, I really want to say something. I don't want you to take offense. She didn't say take offense. I don't know what she said, but whatever she said, it was sweet. And she said, babe, you know, as you get older. She did say that now. I remember that. Babe, as you get older, your reflexes are not the same as when you were younger. Your mind thinks you can do it, but your body is not responding to the speed of your mind. And she said, babe, your driving was bad today. She said, baby, it was so bad. She said, I heard Bruce click the seat belt back in the back seat. He slowly did it. She said, I heard it click though. Now, real love, a friend will tell you the truth. And so I said, okay, babe. I said, I'll tell you what, babe. I promise, I said, I will not drive and try to look at my phone and send text messages, etc. And she said, do you promise? I said, no. But I did it this morning, didn't I? On the way here, I'm getting text messages. So anyway, a real friend, everybody say a real friend. A real friend is honest and truthful. And you know, I know we like, well, you didn't say it right. Well, the question is it true? We got another healing. Somebody come on, clap their hands for the Lord. God bless you. Think about it. If your best friend at work told you your breath was hot, are you gonna get mad at them? Girl, why you tell me my breath stink? Because it stink, girl. You're not going to necessarily get mad at them. So you can share your heart with your spouse without it being taken wrong. Here's the third thing. I need to hurry up. Here's the third trait of a friend. A friend is trustworthy and confidential. In other words, you should be able to share your heart without the fear of betrayal, embarrassment, or that your secret is going to get out. Amen. Proverbs 11:13 in the New Living Translation says, a gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep confidence. Say amen to that. Here's the number three or four. A friend is encouraging and uplifting. A good friend is going to speak life when you're down. So when you find your spouse saying things that doesn't mirror the word of God, gently, everybody say gently. Gently say, baby or honey, don't say that. All right? Don't say that. You are God's best. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 in the Amplified, therefore encourage and comfort one another and build up one another just as you are doing. Amen. Here's another fourth trait of a friend is that a friend is selfless and sacrificial. They put your well-being ahead of their own comfort. I mean, some of us have friends that if they called you and say, listen, I know you at work. I need you to clock out. I need you to I need you to stop. I have an emergency and I need your help. How many of a friend called you with that, you would do your best to try to get off work or whatever, rearrange your schedule? Absolutely, because a real friend is selfless and sacrificial. And that's how you and I have to be without. Here's what's interesting. We would be like that for our BFF, but then when our spouse needs it, it's subject to question. Here's the next one. A real friend is supportive and present. They show up when you need them. Amen. Job's friends sat with him in silence for 7 days and not said nothing just to help him in his grief. Another of what a friend does is that they sharpen you and they challenge you. They help you grow and become better. And in a marriage context, you do that without necessarily you being the beneficiary. In other words, in marriage, sometimes we want the person to grow for our benefit, but a real friend wants a person to grow for that person's benefit. Say amen to that. As iron sharpens iron, the Bible says, so a friend sharpens another friend. So let's go and look at our final love type. We've looked at three love types this morning. What was the first love, church? Agape love of God. What was the second love? Eros love. What was the third love? Friendship love, or filial love. And here's the fourth one. Here's the point. Respect your spouse, not just as your lover, but as your brother or your sister. Now, some of y'all might have to explain this one because you'd be like, isn't that incest, Pastor? I'm sleeping with my brother or my sister. See, let me explain something. Your spouse is God's daughter or son. They were before they met you that way, and they are still God's son or daughter now that you've married them. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says this in the King James. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Read it with me. With brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. That word brotherly love, I said it wrong on the third point. That word brotherly love, that word love there is the whole word Philadelphia. When you look it up, it's the whole word Philadelphia, which means to love as brothers and sisters. Now you may be asking, why is this type of love important in a marriage? It's because viewing each other and loving each other from a brother or a sister standpoint. Listen, you are in a Christ position, which now is going to help you maintain what I'm going to call a family respect and perspective. Watch this, because you both have the same parent, which is God. So, watch this now. Since you have the connection to the same parent, you're relationally related. Now, I know some of you, including my wife, have sibling rivalry. I mean, her and her brother, they be at each other. I mean, she says, if you just watch her post, she may tell him happy birthday. That's being very cordial, very loving, very family. But if you read the post, it's going to say something like, happy birthday to my ugly brother, and he has bad breath. That's that sibling rival, right? Okay, but if you try to say something bad about him or try to do something bad about him, you're going to see a sweet lady turn into, you don't want to know, lady. In other words, it's a family bond. So what happens, watch this, when you and your siblings got into it when you were young? Y'all got into a squabble. One said, who you gonna go to try to resolve that? You gonna go to your parents. Well, that's what you do in a marriage. Because she is your sister and he is your brother, when they start acting up and you can't resolve it, you go to their parent, God. I be talking to God about Cherise all the time. All the time. So when your spouse is not doing right, we got another one. Praise the Lord. Oh, man. I feel an anointing in the room. Oh, my God. Oh, raise your hands up. Those of you who haven't received it yet, just raise your hands up. If you raise your hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, let what I'm feeling right now sweep through the room in the name of Jesus. Wow. Listen. There are some financial pain being healed right now in Jesus' name. There are some situations that you have tried to resolve. I'm talking to some people right now. You have tried to resolve with yourself. You've tried to work it out and it hasn't worked out. It seems like your credit is tumbling. But I just hear the Lord say, he is healing your finances. You say, well, Pastor, is that real? The Bible says there are gifts of healing. And so I command your finances to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. So let's close with this. Let's apply what we just talked about. We talked about four different kinds of love. And the one at the end is very important. Because you, when you see your spouse as your brother or sister in Christ, there's a different respect that you can have for them. Because I remember one time I was praying. I don't know what had happened. You know, because when I share, when let's say we're dealing with an issue, Sharice and I, and, you know, I can get passionate and my voice level may go up some, you know. And I remember one time the Lord said, Ebbett, I don't even talk to Sharice like that. So I don't want you to talk to her like that. Now, I'm working on it. And hopefully she is too. Praise the Lord. No, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it, right? But because he's her father and I have the same parent and he has put his spirit in me, which allows me to have his heart, which means that I can have his heart for her because he's got it. He can transfer that to me because the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we're able to love God's way. Say amen to that. So how do we apply today's message? Here's the first one. Learn these four types of loves. Learn them. Let's say it. Say agape. Say, what was the second one? What? Eros. Oh, I should remember that one, huh? What's the third one? Filio. And what's the fourth one? Philadelphia. Apply them when the situation requires them. Require, apply them. If your spouse comes up to you and they need you to understand and be calm, then you're going to put on that agape love that says it's patient and it's kind. Here's the third thing. You're going to have a discussion with your spouse about the message today. I want y'all to talk about this one. Talk about, and then I want you to express to them how they can help you love them in those ways. And you say, well, how can you do that? Let's say, for instance, you know you need to talk to your spouse about something. Then right up front, just tell them, baby, I'm going to need some agape love from this conversation. Just help them. Or you may want to warn them in advance. Say, baby, this conversation is about Eros. I just want you to know that in advance. She's going to be like, Eros? Or he's going to be like, Eros? Yes, baby. Remember what Pastor said on Sunday? Y'all can't say my name on that one. Say my name. Number four, ask God to help you love your spouse with the right love at the right time. Because I believe love never fails. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for the message? So I want you to hold your spouse's hand. Father, thank you for every married couple that is in this room. You placed your spirit on the inside of us. Therefore, we already know we have the ability and the capability to love our spouse like you love us. So, Lord, I release in the name of Jesus a grace to love in this place. A grace to love at new levels, at new heights, and in new ways. I thank you for giving us as individuals creative thoughts and ways that we can communicate those four different kinds of love in certain ways. And I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to give you an example of something, then I'm going to ask for those who need salvation. So get help when you need to express. So this morning I laid out, I had made 5 different gift bags with the 5 senses on it. One gift bag says touch. One gift bag says taste. Oh, we got a healing right here. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap right there. Got one says smell, got one say hear and all that, right. And so it's allowing me to love from a 5 senses realm to First Lady. So don't be afraid to ask people who are creative, hey, how can I make this happen? Some of us want to be so Superman and Superwoman, we want to come up with it ourselves. Well, let me tell you something. You can do that and wreck your brain and still come up with nothing. Or you can get some help. So with every head bowed, there's some people that need some help because you might need to be saved today. My question to you is, if you died, do you know?